Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Three Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where
Little White Ball is live.
I'm your host, Scotty T, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, KJ and T-Bone. How's it going, fellas?
Good, good. Feeling good.
Doing great. Happy to be here.
T-Bone, you look like you just got off the tennis courts again.
I did.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, there's a reason I'm not sitting in the chair today. We're recording at Scott's office, and
true.
If the ass sweat that I had was left in this chair, Scott would no longer be allowed to have us in the studio. So I'm taking a knee today, standing up. So, but yeah, I'm kind of back in the tennis mode.
Well, good for you.
Respectful and disappointing.
It's been a few weeks since we've been together. Did y'all have a good Labor Day weekend?
Did. Sure did. Played a lot of golf.
Respect. Nice. Because Little White Ball is live.
Absolutely.
T-Bone, how about you, man? What'd you do over Labor Day weekend?
Lake Travis. Got some rays.
Cool.
Awesome. Some claws.
Oh, the claws.
I actually hate white claws, but they were there.
You shut your
Hot
mouth.
Hot take. But
wow. We drank a lot of white claws. So KJ and I, we played over the weekend at the Catalina Wine Mixer.
Shit got real.
It got real. A lot of claws were drank. That was really the first time I had drunk white claws on the golf course. It doesn't disappoint. Let's just put it that way. We had a good time. We lost, though.
Yeah, we did. I wasn't very happy.
My last Instagram story on that said hashtag winning. We did not win.
We lost by one.
We lost by one. We shot 54 in a four-man scramble and lost by one.
Seeing the state that we showed up in, I'm not too disappointed in 54, but I am definitely disappointed in not winning.
I was a little upset. I had three lip-outs.
Yep.
Granted, I made some putts I probably should have made.
Yeah, so that kind of evened out.
Yeah,
but we
it's all equal.
We definitely had some shots that we left out there. We probably left three shots out there easily.
That's all right. It happens. Well, we hope everybody had a good Labor Day weekend as well. That's when we dropped the Mike McGraw interview that T-Bone and I did. Coach Mike McGraw, the Baylor University head coach. So shout out to Baylor. They also won their very first golf tournament today. It's like the Minnesota Open or something like that. They beat A&M by two shots. So shout out to the Baylor Bears.
Nice.
Coach Mike McGraw.
Was it the, I don't know, was it a little momentum they got from the interview? I don't know.
It very well could be.
Let's just say they're 1-0. They're undefeated after a three under par podcast session.
I like that.
I don't know.
Sick 'em.
Might need to get the U.S. Ryder Cup team on here before that match.
Love it.
Yeah, definitely. We'll get Patrick Reed on, see if we can air out any disputes
that he might have. But go ahead.
I don't know. Captain America? We got time before the Ryder Cup. I would say bring the President's Cup team on, but nobody cares about the President's Cup.
And we're going to win regardless. So
This is true. Well, if you missed that interview, go back and listen to it. I'd actually really highly recommend that you do it because Coach McGraw, he's like a legend in the golf world. Three-time national champion, Coach Ricky Fowler, Charles Howell III, Hunter Mahan, the list goes on at Oklahoma State. Coach Justin Thomas at Alabama when he was the assistant coach there. And has been doing great things for Baylor. So as a Baylor grad, myself, I'm very proud to have him as our coach because he represents Baylor well, and he's doing great things for the program. So week off, PGA Tour season, post-tour championship, not as much going on here. So we're going to talk a little bit about the golf world. We're going to keep this episode probably a little shorter. Before we dive into it, follow us on social media, at 300 Par Pod, Twitter and Instagram. That way you can enjoy our stories, probably on the golf course, where KJ comes in and goes, welcome back to the 300 Par Pod.
And makes you shotgun.
This is true. Got a little too confident on that. But that's why you need to check us out there. DMs are open too. So I would assume in the next few weeks, we'll probably actually do those outside the ropes questions.
Speaking of Captain America, there is one that I want to cover in today.
Okay.
That I've been chewing on for a while.
Okay. Also subscribe. Yeah. We'll get there. Subscribe, rate, and review. Give us a 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and write just like 1 or 2 sentences because we want to hear from you. And so we're going to dive into it. I got an announcement to make.
Let's hear it.
I posted it on social media, on Twitter. Hence, check us out. I got into the Texas Mid-Am, y'all.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. So I will be, thank you. As you remember, I played in that qualifier last month and lost in a playoff for the last spot. Six playoff holes. It was like an hour and a half playoff. It took forever. And I ended up losing. I was an alternate, but then I got in. Found out last week. So I'll be headed up to Dallas this weekend to play in the Texas Mid-Am.
When is it?
This weekend.
Like what days?
It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I'm driving up late Wednesday night, playing a practice round Thursday, playing a tournament Friday, Saturday. Then there's a cut. And then if I make the cut, then I play again on Sunday. I'm kind of nervous. I'm not going to lie. I haven't really played a tournament in like 5 years. At least.
Tell them what unofficial, I guess, sponsor of the show, Max Garrett, told you while you were warming up before a week before.
I may have had a little something to do with that.
So I go in the Golf Smart. Shout out to Golf Smart. We haven't been recording there, but if you need lessons in the Houston area, go to Golf Smart.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. That's where I take lessons. And so I was in there last week. So I found out Wednesday of last week that I'm getting into the tournament. So I head over there during lunch, Thursday and Friday. And on Thursday, I walk in. Max, who's the owner of Golf Smart, he starts giving me a really hard time. He was like, hey, nothing like start practicing a week before a tournament, huh? Like, damn it, Max. Like, come on. Come on.
Guy's got a point.
He's killing me. Look, he's not necessarily wrong. We've been busy. Works.
You're an alternate.
Works pick. Yeah, I was an alternate. I literally was telling my parents, like, I don't know if I want to practice. Like, I'm an alternate, so I might not get in. Like, do I need to practice? Like, I'm getting into the tournament. In hindsight, I wish I did, because I don't know if I'm necessarily ready for it. Haven't really been playing too much. Only got, like, a couple rounds in the last few weeks. So
I say you treat it like the, whatever it was, 92 PGA Championship when John Daly? It's like, what, the seventh alternate, drove overnight and won the damn thing. I'll do something like that.
Look treat to our like idol, that. The 3-under par idol.
Yeah.
Mr. Daly. It works. I would say me and him have about the same talent, wouldn't you say? We both hit about the same distance. We both drink about the same amount of beer.
Wrong and wrong.
Not even close.
No. Really, I was just saying that so KJ would get off his phone and so he would pay attention.
Get behind that.
KJ, are you off your phone? You want to pay attention?
I'm paying attention. All right. I definitely called you out on that one. Shit, wasn't even close.
That's what got your attention. So, yep. No, it's, like I said, I'm kind of nervous. Really first tournament since college. Since club golf. Shout out to the Baylor club golf team. There are some of those tournaments that where Reese showed up in some, I would say, rough shape. Right, T-Bone?
Yeah, just didn't get a ton of sleep the night before.
Right.
I'll leave it at that.
But this one, I am going to be well rested. I tee off at 8:10 Friday morning to start the tournament.
You have a caddy?
I do not have a caddy. It's okay. So we're playing at Merido Country Club. A few friends of ours practiced out there. Jerry Ruiz, who's been on the podcast.
All three rounds, same spot?
All three rounds, same place. Jerry Ruiz practices out there. I texted Jerry and I was like, hey, man, like, what do I need to practice on? He said everything. I was like, oh, that makes me feel
Thanks,
good.
Thanks, bud.
So shout out to Jerry on there. And then I texted Kramer. He pretty much said the exact same thing. He said that's a really tough course. So hopefully we'll get Kramer on soon. We'll do that. So that's kind of my announcement. First competitive, competitive tournament in 5 years. So we'll see how that goes. I'll keep the listenership updated. Maybe a few Twitter posts here or there, because during the playoff, I was like live tweeting during the playoff. No wonder I lost, right? I wasn't. But
maybe you should get off your phone.
Exactly. So I will not be on my phone as much. I will be focusing on the tournament. So that's where that's been. Like I said, it's been a slow week, really, in the golf world since the Tour Championship. I don't know if there's even been like a hangover or whatnot. It's just like I think everybody with the condensed tour schedule this year, everybody just like wants to take a breath. It was a full-on sprint, and now it's over, and so everybody's like, all right, let's relax a little bit.
Now, this was the first weekend of really college football, NFL starting.
Phenomenal.
I'm also, you know, I'm the tennis guy here. The U.S. Open just finished.
So. Shout out to Rafael Nadal for winning the U.S. Open. He's still really good, man.
Yeah.
I was cheering for Federer myself, but
I was too.
I mean, respect. He's great.
Is this a good transition to, I guess, kind of a golf gossip?
Absolutely.
So this weekend or this past few weeks at the U.S. Open, one of the biggest headlines for golf was Tiger just bringing out the massive fist pump.
Amazing.
In September at the U.S. Open.
Get you fired up.
Tennis U.S. Open. but, yeah, it was cool to see him. I feel like that's kind of the first – aside from maybe a Stanford game here and there, it's kind of the first time you've seen him out at another sporting event. It was cool to see his son there. They have, like, the little literally the mirrored fist pump.
It was iconic. Yeah, that was so cool. Iconic.
And I swear, after that, the match that he watched Nadal play, the whole interview was around Tiger.
Yeah.
He was literally just talking to him about Tiger. He's like, how do you feel about Tiger watching you? And all of his questions revolved around that, and it was kind of weird. But kind of shows you that little white ball is life. Even I'll say that.
Yep. Tiger just dominates wherever he goes. Like, he's at the U.S. Open tennis, and people are still talking about him. He took the internet by storm with his fist pump. I remember I was sitting there with my roommates. We're actually watching the match. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I freaked out. And Garza, who's been on the podcast, friend of the pod, shout out to Garza, he goes, okay, Scott, like, relax a little bit. Like, calm down. And then sure enough, like, Instagram and Twitter, everybody's talking about it. So I thought it was pretty appropriate, my response on that. And kind of picking back off that, Tiger had knee surgery. We haven't really talked about it. He had knee surgery after the last time we recorded, so it's good to see him out and about, going there to support Serena Williams, Rafael Nadal. Look, as long as he's back, like, it's the off season. Take care of yourself. Do what you got to do. But anytime you go under the knife, that kind of gets like, yeah, like I don't really like that very much.
Continuing on the U.S. Open, I hate to keep shitting on this guy. This poor guy. I mean, it's just, I don't know if it's ever going to stop, but Smiley Kaufman was at the U.S. Open too. And no one gives a shit, and no one knew about it, and he was probably sitting in the nosebleeds, but he was there, too.
Oh, my God, I love it. I had no idea, but that's hilarious.
Of course you didn't.
That's the only place they sell natties.
Yeah.
I bet you Tiger and Smiley have two very different experiences at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, a little bit.
Woods is living the high life, sitting in the box. Smiley's probably in the nosebleeds.
Smiley's just happy to be there. He's got his nosebleed ticket. Just like any weekend tournament.
You know, he's just happy to be there if he's there.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, Smiley's lost his card now, unfortunately. I guess that was kind of the one thing that's been a bright spot. The Korn Ferry Finals Tour, if you're a true golf nut, that was pretty electric to watch. Doug Gim making a 10-footer
big
on the last hole. I think I said on Twitter that takes huge stones to make that putt. Sure does. He actually gave a like on that. Shout out to Doug Gim.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
He's the man. Fellow UT guy. Scotty Scheffler, he has full exempt status on the PGA Tour this year. Massive deal. Because those guys come up from Korn Ferry Tour, they all have, like, temporary status. Like, even Victor Hovland. So, he can't play on pretty much any tournament. But, for example, the players, you have to have a better status or whatever. Scotty Scheffler can play in the players next year. So, big deal. He's a Texas kid. Man, he used to drive me crazy in junior golf. Because he was the kid that was, like, 4 or 5 years younger than everybody. But still going out and kicking all of our asses. He was so good. Still is really good, clearly. So, is there anything else, T-Bone, that you saw on Golf Gossip or anything like that?
I can't believe we even had this much to talk about in the golf world.
Well, Dustin Johnson, he also had surgery. Arthroscopic. I can never say that word.
Arthroscopic? That's definitely not. Arthroscopic.
KJ, what is
it? This guy would know. He's been under the knife a few times lately.
Recently, as of
this
year.
Not that I probably don't need it, but yeah. It's I mean, Tiger, you look at him. What else could he possibly hurt? Everything on him is pretty much fake.
He's like, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, he's a million-dollar man. He's walking around like, tink, tink, where's my oil? So, you know, hopefully he stays healthy, but, you know, a couple more surgeries, like, he can't get hurt, I would think.
Was it 4 back surgeries, including having his spine fused together at one point? Throw in another knee surgery on there. He's already had, like, 3 or 4 of those. Who cares? Just add another one to the list. Doesn't matter.
We'll see how DJ comes back from a knee surgery, though.
DJ had a dog shit season this year.
Yes, that's true.
He played so bad, as evidenced at Eastlake. Granted, he still made it, but he finishes dead last with the glove.
The glove.
Come on. All due respect to Lucas Glover, but Dustin Johnson should be roasting Lucas Glover. Maybe the personal life isn't great at home with Paulina. I don't know. Maybe that's something that our Golf Gossip T-Bone can look into.
I'll get back into that. I'll take a look at that.
Okay. So, DJ went under the knife. Tiger went under the knife. Hopefully, they have good recoveries. You know, it's one of those, as I mentioned, it was such a sprint to the Tour Championship that the fall schedule literally starts this year, this week. The new season starts for the PGA Tour at the Greenbrier this week. I expect, though, some of these big names to just not show up till, like, Tiger's tournament, the Hero War Challenge. And that's because they're going to use that as a tune-up for the President's Cup. That's the only reason why I could see that happening. So those guys coming up from the Korn Ferry Tour. Big few months to, because they're always reshuffling, doing all that jazz. Right. It's really complicated. But point being, if you play well, you're going to get into the bigger tournaments. And I think Bryson DeChambeau was playing this week, but that might be the only big name guy. Like,
Snedeker's got to be playing. He loves that place.
Doesn't Phil have a place up at the Greenbrier too?
I don't know.
That's where he does his falconry.
That's what his what?
His falconry.
Really?
Have you seen that commercial?
Uh-uh.
You guys haven't seen this commercial?
I know he like so he has a commercial talking about the Greenbrier.
Yeah.
Is that the Falcon commercial?
Yeah. He's like, he's like, the Greenbrier is like a place I call home. He's like, it's a place where you can like go golfing, whitewater rafting, and do falconry. And it's like this guy with just his arm out and a falcon just flies onto his arm.
Phil.
Can't believe you guys haven't seen this.
What a guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a little out there.
He's also been dominating social media. Like, if there's an Oscar for a new social media award person, Phil Mickelson,
100%.
First place. I wouldn't be surprised if he were, like, were to give a speech. These new fireside chat things with Phil that he's doing with Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Zach Johnson. Like, what is going on around here? So, Phil's the man. Yeah, I would expect him to play. But then again, Phil just doesn't generate the same attention that he used to, honestly. And that's because he's not in contention at major championships anymore. I would expect Phil, though, to be in contention at the Masters one more time. Just once.
I think that's fair.
I would say 2 or 3 years from now. He's got to be post-50, just turn back the clock, and then watch, like, and then Brooks Koepka is just going to crush his soul. That's what I'm predicting. Because that's Brooks Koepka. I guess speaking of that, with the vacation, I think he's taking, like, 6 weeks off. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't touch a club for 6 weeks. But you know what? That's Brooks Koepka. He doesn't give a damn what anybody thinks. He's going to do what he wants. And he's still going to kick some ass when he gets out there on the golf course. So some other things that I saw. The Walker Cup was this weekend. Big shouts to the USA team beating Team GB and I. First time since 2007 that they've won on foreign soil. It's kind of like the Ryder Cup. So, you know, the U.S. hasn't won a Ryder Cup on foreign soil since 1993.
It's terrible.
Which is devastating.
That's older than me.
Yeah. T-Bone, what else is older than you that we established a few weeks ago? Remember what I'm talking about?
No.
Anyway.
Pretty much everything.
Yeah. T-Bone, you young. So, it was a big win. You know, Cole Hammer, he was playing on there, Houston guy. Which I was thinking was about it. There are some really good amateurs who turned pro this year who could have played and probably usually would have played. Like Matthew Wolf. He didn't play. Colin Morikawa, he didn't play. Two of the really young, good American players, and they still went out and won on European soil, which is great. As I mentioned, first time since 2007. I did want to give a shout-out to the 2007 Walker Cup team. That team is legendary. Are y'all familiar with who was on that team?
No.
So the Walker Cup, if you're not familiar, it's like the Ryder Cup, but for amateurs. It's USA versus GB and I, though, Great Britain and Ireland, instead of just all of Europe. 2007 USA team was Ricky Fowler, Billy Horschel. Remember, these are all amateurs, at least at the time. Ricky Fowler, Billy Horschel, Dustin Johnson, Colt Knost, Jamie Lovemark, Webb Simpson, Kyle Stanley.
Shit.
Those are just the guys who made it on the PGA Tour. There was Jonathan Moore, who won the 2006 D1 championship. Jamie Lovemark, he might have been the best amateur at the time on that team.
Chris Kirk.
The only other ones is... I'm going to butcher this last name, so I'm not even going to try. Point being, everybody except one person on that team made it to the PGA Tour. And then on Team GB and I, you had some guy named Roy McIlroy.
Who's that?
He's pretty good, I think. But there's also Masters champion Danny Willett was on that team.
Oh, God.
Something that Roy McIlroy doesn't
the goat.
Have.
There's your hot take of the day. The GOAT,
that might be
Danny
the worst
Willett.
Take. Oh, my gosh. Point being is that that's like one of the more memorable Ryder Cups. It was 2007.
So Walker Cups.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Walker Cups. So the first time they won on European soil since 07. It's a big deal, really big deal. So shout out to the Walker Cup team for that. Also going off international matches, the Solheim Cup is this weekend. Cool. I haven't really paid much attention to the Solheim Cup. I think GB and I is favored, though. I don't know if the Americans are going to win the Solheim Cup. There's been a lot of controversy in the past, right? Wasn't there a few years ago some girl – it was kind of like the Sergio and Matt Kuchar thing where Somebody said it wasn't good, but she picked up her ball. I wish I could really remember that story off the top of my head. Y'all are really helping me with that one.
I know there's been issues with measuring who's out. Like who's, because in match play.
Maybe that's what it was.
Furthest out. I think it involved Annika several years ago. And she hit because she assumed she was out, and then they asked for a measurement. She actually wasn't out and lost the hole.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so ticky-tacky.
Yeah.
See, that's why people don't like golf. But when you're playing Annika,
you get every little bit of advantage you can get.
Right.
So you're probably going to get your ass stomped.
But it's that kind of stuff that makes people hate golf.
Very true.
Like, just hit the ball. Like, if you're 2 inches further out, don't break out the measuring tape. Like, whatever. Stupid. So, really, I think that's all I got. Like, is there really much else that y'all would like to add?
We can finish it with this behind the ropes.
Oh, yeah. T-Bone, what you got?
So, it's been a little while since we've done this, but...
Sure. You want to do a couple of these, or y'all just want to
do one or two? I just got one, I think, that can open up a pretty good dialogue.
Sure.
To round it up, but... Scott, I believe this was from Garza.
Okay.
And it was, what would Patrick Reed have to do for you to like him?
Shit. Yeah.
And I've thought about this, so okay. I think there's a couple of things he can do.
Go for it.
And I feel bad, like, always shitting people on this podcast. But, I mean, he's public enemy number one. So, I guess
that's not as bad. That's agreed. Yes.
So, the first thing that would make me like Patrick Reed is if he had just a total downfall. Loses his game. Just game goes to shit.
Like Jordan Spieth right now?
No, worse.
Ooh.
Loses his tour card. He's fighting it out on the mini tours for years.
Wow.
I'm talking.
Jeez, that is rough.
That is aggressive.
I'm talking probably, we'll say 4 to 5 years. He's on the mini tours.
Gonna cancel his ass for half a decade?
Yeah.
Comes back, fights his way back onto the PGA Tour, and I don't want to give him a major, but if he won something like, I don't know, the Memorial Tournament.
Okay.
Major collapse, comes back, and then wins.
Or like some sort of WGC, like WGC
something like
Mexico.
That. Yeah, I definitely don't want him to win another major, but if he had a major collapse and then came back and was kind of good, that was one thing that if he won a tournament after coming back from all that, I'd be like, okay. It's a good story.
You're basically saying the only way you'll like him is if he just fucking crashes like a computer and then he reboots himself.
That's one option.
Okay.
My second option is, I think he just needs a total rebrand. And
okay.
I think you can get a lot of people on your side if you get a funny or cool sponsor. So hear
are
me
you
up.
Saying that Nike needs to drop him?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to say his hat sponsors in particular. So you're telling me.
Okay.
So if I see Patrick Reed, next year and he comes out, and his hat sponsor is just a huge Viagra logo. I'm going to love Patrick Reed. If he had something crazy or like something ridiculous like that. Because, you know, we are all like Duffner and he had Dude Wipes. And that's
about
an awesome
sponsor. Dude Wipes could be a good option.
Yeah. But Patrick Reed needs to even be more outrageous. And if he did something like Viagra, that would be hilarious.
Or Cialis.
Yeah.
Since they're all over the Golf Channel anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be good. I think
I like that way more
things.
Than hoping a guy just crashes and burns.
T-Bone?
That's kind of shitty.
I thought about this. I thought about this. Would you guys not if he fell and then came back? You would kind of like him?
I don't know.
I'm hoping for him to crash
and fall. I
feel
like, though, he could turn into a tragic hero. Like, if his game did just go straight to hell. And it's so hard to recover if that happens, though. Like, that's wishful thinking, obviously. But look at Smiley Kaufman right now. We brought him up earlier today. He was in the last group of the Masters not too long ago, and nobody's heard or seen from him since Baker's Bay, Spring Break 2015. I'm just saying.
It's insane.
And to add on to that, if he wins again, he's going to be the fucking man. Everyone's going to love him.
Yes, that's true.
Yes.
That's true.
You're right. But it's just, look, the way he's been playing, like, I don't know if that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, he could be done. He might need to hang it up.
I like the rebranding more. Like, if he comes out with, like, a 95 open John Daly mullet and big old Fu Manchu and he's got like a Budweiser rope hat on.
Oh my God.
Like I'm not gonna turn size immediately, but I'll be like, all right, this guy's growing on me.
Yeah.
He's growing on me.
That would be good too.
He already looks like a 50-year-old trucker. Like go ahead and just work it out, you know?
Okay.
Especially, he also wears the fucking tiger red on Sundays.
Yeah.
That pisses me off so much.
That's tough. You can't really recover from that one.
Not a rebrand. Fan on that one. Rebrand. I'm sticking with rebrand.
Okay. I like the rebrand. All right, this one's going to be tough, and I think I need to be delicate the way I'm going to say this. There are some crazy PGA Tour wives out there. You know, some look at Mrs. Glover. There's some bits of controversy, some rumors about there. Almost public enemy number one in that regard is Justin Reed. Look, his story and when everything is very well documented and people can suspect what they want. I've actually heard through the grapevine that Patrick Reed is a pretty good dude. Like, he's actually a really nice guy. I don't think he's the one pulling the strings right now with his life and his career and his perception. We know who's pulling the strings. Behind the scenes, playing puppet master over there. I'm just saying, if something were to happen there, maybe that would be a step in the right direction. Look, and I don't wish ill will towards anybody or any personal lives or marriage or whatnot. And
that was a very polite way of saying, kick that shit to the curb and start over, Bubba. You get your shit back on track. That's exactly what just happened.
Yikes.
Oh, man. That was a very polite and eloquent.
Thank you. Look, we know what's up, and everybody knows what's up too. Like, look, Justine Reed just has burner accounts where it's like the Kevin Durant burner accounts where he's going back and forth on himself, like trying to pump himself up. That's what she's doing. There's no way that Patrick Reed is controlling his own life or anything like that. He doesn't even talk to his own parents anymore.
You got a solid point. You got a solid point. Yeah.
And like I said, he's the mother of his kids, and I don't wish any ill will towards that. I'm saying that doesn't help his cause. And if something were to go down, then maybe that might help me like Patrick a little bit more.
Honestly, no one's really saying it, but a lot of people are probably thinking that. So.
That's true. So I think we made a pretty good...
I'm a voice for the voiceless over here. I'm speaking for the silent majority. I'm speaking for the silent majority.
So I think we come to a collective decision. He needs to start over.
Rebrand over his game going to shit, T-Bone.
I like rebrand. Get behind your idea.
Okay.
But yeah.
His game going to
shit. I think 100%. If he walks out and, you know, cut off shirt in one day, in practice and warm up or something like that, he's got a Fu Manchu.
Yeah.
Bud Heavy rope hat, something like that.
That would be phenomenal.
I think I would turn somewhat of tide. But yeah, I think. In golf, you have to have that. Like, I'm in control. That's got to be a mental issue, just a little bit. I agree with you there.
And look, I think in any sport, but especially golf, your personal life has to be in order.
It does. Has to line
up. In order for you to play well. I'm a true believer in that. Coach McGraw was talking about that on the interview last week. If everything is lined up in your personal life or work life, if you're a working man and you play, like, if work's going well, you're probably going to play some good golf. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, that's not right.
To play devil's advocate here.
I mean, okay.
There is a
look
golfer.
Look at Lucas Glover. 2 years ago, his wife got arrested for domestic whatever.
Yeah, I'm going
to
I know all this.
And then he went back down to the Corn Ferry Finals. They renewed their vows. They renewed their marriage. And he made it to the Tour Championship this year.
I agree.
That is Exhibit A.
I agree for the most part. But there is a key case of how that might not be the case. A gentleman by the name of Tiger Woods. His game did go to shit. But he was also dominating the game while his personal life was probably...
Yeah, he was getting laid every freaking tournament.
Yeah, and then once the truth came out, once that fell apart, then his game fell apart. So in his mind, his personal life was fine-ish.
Yeah.
But now, okay, to your point, now he's in a healthy relationship, at least to our knowledge, with this one girl. And now he's the Masters champion.
Boom.
Boom.
Bucket. No, I think you're right.
Suck on these nuts. Man, that's a really good question, though. So how about you, the listeners? What would it take for you to start liking Patrick Reed? Hashtag Team Reed. There's one other question that I want to do with y'all, and then we'll get out of here, okay? This is also from Garza or Will. I don't remember. Shout out to Will in California. Loyal 300 par listener. 150-yard par 3. An island green like TPC Sawgrass. If you hit the green, you win $1 million. If you miss the green, you can never play golf again. Would you do it?
Ugh. Is this like the first shot of the day, or am I like a 12-pack deep?
Let's say you are 5 beers deep, and it's the 8th hole of the day.
Oh, man, I am
so you're warmed
top of
up.
The peak. I'm top of the peak.
Exactly.
I'm flagging that shit with a 9-iron.
Okay, let's say it's 150 yards max, island green, TPC Sawgrass. If you miss the green, you're never allowed to play golf again. If you hit the green, you win $1 million. Would you go for it?
I'd definitely have to have some nerve-calming effects in there. I would not hit that ball sober, and I would not hit it trashed. Nope. So, hole okay. 8, after 5 beers, oh, man, I'm loose as a goose.
Okay.
That shit's inside 15 feet. you can attest. Our 8th right. hole, you had a shotgun, and that wasn't an 8-iron. Or that wasn't a 9-iron.
No, that was hole 7, but it doesn't matter.
Oh, dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel you.
I think it's going to depend on how I'm hitting it that day.
Right now, you just walked off the tennis courts, but you've had a couple holes to loosen up.
Yeah,
and get
I have
the
no idea
going.
What how I'm gonna be hitting it that day.
What are you
God
gonna do?
Damn,
I would that's a tough one.
$1 million.
It has nothing to do with the $1 million aspect of it. I think we can agree. It's all I can't ever fucking play golf again.
Is there
ever?
Is there a dollar figure that would matter?
That is so much.
Let's say it's $10 million.
It's still like never play golf again.
Never, but you win $10 million.
That's so much bigger than me.
Tax free.
Tax.
I don't want to be the tax guy.
Yeah, I think over the shot, which the issue for me with this is, I'm not thinking about the money.
It's a wedge.
I'm thinking about
9-iron.
I'm not thinking about the money. That's the issue. I'm thinking about the bad part of it.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
good thoughts only. 10 cup that shit.
If I didn't do it,
you'd feel like a pussy.
I would feel like such a pussy. I gotta let it rip and I shank it in the water and become a good tennis player.
Hey, is that lonely tree over there part of the green?
Okay, so is there a certain yardage where you'd be like, no, I'm not doing it? Like 175?
No.
I mean, anything over 200 yards, like, no, I'm out. Like, fuck
yeah. Anything 4-iron or more, I would never take a shot.
Yeah.
So anything.
So what's the max yardage?
My 5-iron is like 198. I would do that if it's not. There's some long, skinny greens out there that I wouldn't even think about it.
Right.
But TPC. I'm not worried about the distance.
You're that trying to hit a 5-iron from that far from 200 yards? Are you nuts?
What?
It's a massive green, but still,
it's
to
wide
never
as shit.
Play golf again, that toe hooker comes in real fast.
Hey, I never miss right. I'm aiming at the fucking wood on the right. If this ball draws a foot, I'm good. If it draws 30 yards, I'm good. I'm playing that shit safe.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that would be, I don't know. That'd be cutting it. 5 would be, Anything more than that, definitely not. No chance. Like, I don't care if I'm feeling as good as I've ever felt in my life. There's no chance.
Okay. I would say the max yards for me would be 175.
Just smooth 7-iron?
Smooth 7.
Not getting
anything over that. Like,
just
I'm
not
like,
happening?
Nope, not happening. Not when I can never play golf again?
Yeah, that's true, man.
What would I do? Literally, like, if I'm not working, I'm playing golf.
Yeah. I don't know. It'd be tough.
I don't know. T-Bone, how about you? Is there a max yardage where you would be like, nah, I'm out?
I'm thinking 7-iron tops as well.
Okay. That's so 160 for you? Or?
Meow.
175.
Okay. Well, yeah. I think, though, if it was TPC Sawgrass, I think also it depends if you're playing in the players, because it's a little different when you got the grandstands surrounding you.
It wouldn't be 5 beers deep. There's no way.
Well,
I told you I'd be skeptical with a 9-iron in my hand.
Yeah. Well, maybe you could be like Miguel Ángel Jiménez and like sneak in a few shots here or there. Or John Daly.
Love it. Love it. JD.
JD, the
man of the people.
The unofficial mascot of 300 Par Pod. I think I would do it like 145, 150. 9-iron. It does depend where the pin is, though. If that pin's on the right,
it's on the green.
I know.
Fuck the pin.
No. Trust me. If that pin's on the right, it is intimidating. Even if you aim at the middle of the green, you're like, oh gosh, like that pin on the right, which makes those shots by Ricky Fowler that much more impressive.
Very true.
He was able to do that like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
On Sunday afternoon, aiming right at the pin.
Insane.
What a crazy guy. Best tournament of his life. Haven't done shit since. So. all right. Well, I think we're going to get out of here. So those are some examples of some outside the ropes questions that we have gotten from you, the listeners. Send us more on our emails listed on our social media, or the DMs are open. So check us out on social media at 3onaparpod, the number 3onaparpod, Twitter and Instagram. And subscribe, rate, and review. It is now your legal obligation for listening to this podcast that you have to subscribe. Write us a review on Apple Podcasts specifically, but then most importantly, KJ,
tell a friend.
Tell a friend.
It's the easiest thing to do.
Yeah.
Like, hey, T-Bone, these 300 par guys, they fucking rock. There you go. That's it.
That's all you got to do.
That's it.
Yeah. T-Bone, what would you say to a friend?
Cool. Yeah, I'll try them out.
Great.
In response to KJ's question, or what would I personally tell a friend? They get the idea.
Okay. We get the idea.
Way to put the effort
in. If you care about my tournament, which you probably don't, which is perfectly fine, I'll probably be updating some stuff there. But shout out to the Dallas guys. I'm going to go see some friends up there. It should be a good time. Is there anything else that y'all would like to add?
Nope.
Greenbrier, literally the first week of the 2019-2020 season is here already. Maybe some breakout stars are upon us. Victor Hovland, Scottie Scheffler, we talked about him. That guy's electric. He is so much fun to watch. There's some really good players out there who are going to use these next couple months to try to take advantage to get their careers off the ground. We've got the Houston Open coming up in about a month, boys. Less than a month, I think.
Woo!
Let's go. We're going to be out there. We're going to be out there bringing you some coverage of the Houston Open. Maybe we'll try to get an interview or two with some guys.
I'm going to have to get some new binoculars.
Yeah, someone?
I'm going to have to get some new binoculars.
Oh, we'll tell that story later. I think we've told that story again or already, but we'll tell it a chance.
We can't tell it until after.
Until after?
Yeah. We don't want them to get onto us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. We got to be incognito out there.
There you go.
Like ninjas. All right, we're going to get out of here. Thanks again for listening. And remember,
Little White Ball is live.